no more death. We got any blessed people in the house tonight? Hallelujah. Put your hands together for the Lord. Amen. Glory to God. God has been so great to us today. Just had a wonderful, wonderful day. Looking forward to tonight's message. Brother Chris is going to be bringing tonight's message for us. We appreciate him so very much. Just ask the Lord to bless him, give him deliverance, just anoint him in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Praise
God. Amen. God is good.
Yes, he is. Amen.
As I was listening to that song, I was thinking about what John saw, and he said, I saw a new heaven and a new earth coming down, for the old heaven and the old earth was passed away, and there was no more night. And I was thinking about what that must look like beyond the sunset. We've seen a lot of beautiful sunsets, but I tell you what, there's something that we're to behold beyond that sunset. Amen. Woo, hallelujah.
Glory.
I'm thankful that Jesus loves me.
Yes.
I'm thankful that He sent His Son to die for me. I'm thankful that He shed His blood for me. The Bible says without the shedding of blood, there can be no remission of sins.
Amen.
I'm thankful for the cross. I'm thankful for the tomb. I'm thankful that there's an empty tomb. And I'm thankful that I have somebody sitting on the right hand of the Father that intercedes for you and for me. I'm thankful for that. Tonight, I've got a message, and it's been burning in my spirit for quite some time now. And I just kind of, you just go over and over and over and over again. And the more you go over it, the better it gets, and the more the Lord shows you. But Matthew chapter number 5, if I had a sermon title tonight, it would just be salt. Salt. Matthew chapter number 5 and verse number 13. The Bible says, and this is Jesus speaking, ye are the salt of the earth. But if the salt has lost his savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing, but to be cast out and to be trodden under the foot of men. Brother Jim, if you lead us to the Lord in prayer.
Our Heavenly Father, Lord, we just want to praise your holy name. Lord, we thank you again for allowing us to gather in your name. The Lord, as your holy word is read, the Lord, as your word is brought forth, Lord, we ask that you just open up our ears, our hearts, and our mind. Lord, not that we'll just hear, but the Lord, we go deep into our memory and our heart.
Yes.
We'll live by and we'll be instructed by your mighty word. Lord, we ask now that you'll bless the man of God as he brings forth your message. And the Lord, we just give you all the honor and all the glory in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. I don't know if you've ever thought about it, but salt. I remember as kids, now there was three of us boys that were older, and so we were kind of mischievous. And when you're a boy, you dare each other to do things. We used to dare each other to take the salt shaker, pour it in your hand, see how much salt you could eat. That was one of the things. We're boys. That's what we did. Listen, we didn't have phones or stuff where we could entertain ourselves. So we did stuff like y'all ain't never did stuff like that. But I can remember, and I also remember on another dare that one of my friends did. They said, if you remember the packets of Kool-Aid, if you'll take that packet of Kool-Aid, orange Kool-Aid, put the whole thing in your mouth. To this day, I can't stand orange Kool-Aid. But salt. If you salt something, it brings seasoning to it. I can remember my dad, when he was alive, he would eat a salad and he would put salt in it. That's just not me, okay? And he would salt, to the point to where all you could taste was the salt. And if you've ever noticed, salt by itself is not really good for anything. You have to do things with it. It's meant as a seasoning. It's not meant to be ate by itself. But Jesus is saying right here, you are the salt of the earth. If we are salt, and we are to stay in the salt shaker, and it looks pretty, it looks nice, until it's ready to be used. But a lot of us, we're not even in the salt shaker. We say, God, use me, but don't spread me out. You see, we have to put our place... before God, just like Brother Eddie was talking about this morning. We have to get into a place to be used by God. We have to. It's going to cost us something. Amen? And if we're going to get... I was thinking about this afternoon. When salt gets mined, it starts as a block. And it has to go through a process of getting chipped away and getting grinded and getting pulverized into what this is right here. How many of y'all know when you go to a house and you get somebody's salt shaker, they don't have a big old block of salt? They don't. It's already been processed. Amen? You give cattle salt licks, and it makes them thirsty. It makes them want to eat more. It makes them want to be... Oh, hallelujah. It makes them want to be thirsty. God's saying you are the salt of the earth. We can walk out those doors and we can say, this world needs help, but we are the salt. Right. This world needs Jesus, but we are the salt. Right. This world needs help, but we are the salt. Now, if we're going to be the salt in the shaker, we got to be ready to be used. We can't say this world needs help and just turn our nose up and keep walking. Right. No, we are salt. We are intended to be used. And I can remember, as I was thinking, me and Tabitha, when we lived in Florida, for one of our anniversaries, I think it was our 10th anniversary, we went to this nice steakhouse, real nice steakhouse. Now, we ain't used to going to real fancy places. So we went there, and I can remember we were sitting there, and all of a sudden we heard. I said, Tabitha, what is that? You know, the waiter's, he's all up in the corner, and he's like this. And I said, what in the world is that? Is that people trying to come in the steakhouse, or what is it, you know? And finally I asked the waiter, I said, what is that? They said, sir, what we're doing back there is we're seasoning the steaks. We're tenderizing the steaks. And it takes a process. We can't just put the salt on them. We have to work the salt into it. And so what we're doing, we're tenderizing that. And see, it's up to us as we get the salt and we lay that salt out onto the world. The world is going to try to just pound us. You holy rollers, you Christian people. Come on, somebody. Is anybody with me tonight? You Christian people, I don't want to hear what you got to say. But you know what? We are the salt. It doesn't change the salt. We are still the salt. Amen? Not everybody likes salt, but salt is needful. Amen? When I'm cooking for myself, I don't put salt in there. And I think to myself, I'm eating it, I'm like, man, this don't taste as good as when Tabitha fixes it. Because she puts salt in stuff. Amen? I try not to, but she puts salt in it, and it makes a difference. It brings out the flavor. If we want God to use us to our full extent, we have to be willing to be poured out. Oh, hallelujah. We have to be, oh, hallelujah. We have to be willing to not only be in that shaker, we have to make ourselves into a place to where we can be poured out. And when we get poured out into this cup right here, I'm pouring it into a cup, okay? It's pouring out. It's pouring out. It's for a purpose. Amen. It has to be spread on something. It's poured out into this cup right here. But see, we pour it out into a cup and we go out into the world and we say, I'm going to spread my salt into the world. I'm going to spread it out into the... And the world does that right there. I had two cups. This is the other cup. You were the one that sat on the front row. That's the splash zone, by the way. But the world does that. They don't want to receive what we have because they're scared they might get a little bit on them. The problem is they need to get saturated in God. They need to get saturated in God. Amen. The cure for alcoholism is Jesus. The cure for drugs is Jesus. The cure for cancer is Jesus. We walk around and we say, man, this world's in a bad shape. There's all kind of sick people going on. There's all kind of things in this world that's going on. When was the last time you prayed? When was the last time you said, God, you really dug your heels and you said, God, I'm praying for so-and-so and I'm praying for this one. How about not talking about them and how about praying for them? How about taking that petition to God and saying, God, this person right here, they need a little bit of salt in their life. And let me be that salt, God. I don't want to be the salt that's laying out there, because you see what Jesus was talking about right here. He said, the salt that's just laying out on the side of the road, it ain't good for nothing. Now, have you ever seen where they salted the roads? When they come in salting the roads, I was telling Tabitha about this. they put big old chunks of salt out there, and it just comes out. Now, when that sits out there, that salt is not good to be seasoned with. That salt is not made. You don't go up there and you pick up the salt and you go and take it to your house and wash it off. But that's not made to do that. Okay? It's not made to be seasoned. That salt is made to be seasoned. The salt that's sitting out on the road has lost its savor. There's a lot of Christians under the sound of my voice that have lost their savor. That have lost their savor. God said, you were salt one time. You're still salt, but you're not fit to be used because you haven't been asked to be used. You haven't put your... Let me tell you something. If you're going to walk for the Lord and if you're going to serve the Lord, it's going to cost you something. It's going to be a sacrifice. It's going to cost you something. We can look back and we can see the Old Testament of everything that was sacrificed. And we say, man, all those oxen were sacrificed and all this, these sheep and the lambs were sacrificed. We are the sacrifice. I am a sacrifice. Every day I have to sacrifice myself and say, God, I give myself to you. I give myself to you. I lay myself down for you. I pick up my cross daily and I follow you. It is a decision when I get up out of the bed. And when I get up out of the bed and my feet hit the floor, I'm deciding that day I'm going to follow you, Lord. I'm following you. No matter where this pathway takes me, I'm following you. No matter who you put in my pathway, I'm following you. It might be just a smile. It might be somebody just that I can just put my arm around and hug them. But I'm following you, Lord. God, let me be salt. Let me be salt to somebody. Because people are walking around this world saying, what's the answer? What's the answer? What's the answer? I love the license plate tab that has on the front of her vehicle. It says, Jesus Christ is the answer. Jesus Christ is the answer. It doesn't matter what the question is. Jesus Christ is the answer. He is the answer. Amen. And you say, Brother Chris, I can't be used because of this. And I can't be used because of that. God's not going to use you. God's not going to use you. He's only going to use people that are willing. Are you willing to be salt? Are you willing to be salt? Like I said, not everybody likes salt. My grandpa, we called him Poppy. He used to always tell me, he'd say, son, not everybody's going to like you, but that's okay. Because those that do like you know your heart. And I've taken that with me and I've realized, hey, not everybody, some people are just going to not like you because you look different than them. Some people are going to not like you because you sound different than them. Some people are going to not like you because they're jealous of you. Amen? And some people are just flat sure going to not like you for no reason at all. They don't even have a reason to not like you. But you know what? It's all right. Because I've looked at and I've said, you know what? They might not like me, but Jesus loved them enough to die for them. And if He loved them enough to die for them, I can love them too. Amen. People might talk about you and they might say all kind of manner of evil. Man, I've had people talk about me and make up stuff and I was like, what in the world? Where'd that even come from? But you know what? I realize the devil's a liar. The devil's a liar. That God's going to get the victory. Amen. God's going to get the victory. That we are the salt. We are the salt. If you would go over with me to the book of Esther. I want to go in chapter number 4. It's a very familiar passage of scripture. For those of you who may not know, Esther and Mordecai are kind of talking back to each other. God's given Esther favor to become the queen. And Mordecai is kind of the guy on the outside. Esther doesn't forget about her people, but she's surrounded by so many different things. For a brief moment, she gets her eyes off of her purpose. Every one of us in here has a purpose. Every one of us in here has a mission. Every one of us in here can be used by God. You say, Brother Chris, I don't have a talent. I can't sing. I can't talk to people. Yeah, but you know what? You can pray for people. You can pray for people. There's something in here. I look around and I can see something that everybody can do. Amen. Chapter number 4 of the book of Esther. I want to start in verse number 10. Again, Esther spake unto Hatak and gave him commandment unto Mordecai. All the king's servants and the people of the king's provinces do know that whosoever, whether man or woman, shall come unto the king into the inner court who is not called, there was one law of his to put him to death. Except such to whom the king shall hold out the golden sepulcher, that he may live. But I have not been called to come into the king these 30 days. And verse 12, and they told to Mordecai Esther's words. Then Mordecai commanded to answer Esther, Think not that with thyself that thou shalt escape in the king's house more than all the Jews. For if thou altogether holdest thy peace at this time, then shall their enlargement and deliverance arrive to the Jews from another place. But thou and thy father's house shall be destroyed. And who knoweth whether thou art come to the kingdom for such a time as this? I read that and I think to myself, Esther was thinking, I can't do it. I can't do it. And Mordecai came right back and said, let me tell you something, honey. Just like we said in Sunday school, if you don't want to be used by God, God's will is still going to go forth. God's going to use somebody. And what I say is, here I am, Lord. Here I am, Lord. Send me. Send me. Let me be an Abraham. Let me just walk, God. Tell me where to go and let me walk. Let the road rise up to meet me, God. Just tell me which direction you want me to go, because I want to follow you, Lord. Wherever, oh hallelujah, wherever that salt needs to be spread, let me spread that salt, God. Let me spread that salt, God. I remember when we used to plant ryegrass. You'd go out there and you take a handful of rye and you just spread it all over the place. You get it all spread real good, and after a while to bring up nice, pretty green grass. But you take it and you just start spreading it. You wouldn't miss an area. You'd spread it all over the place. That's what we need to do with the gospel. We need to spread the gospel. Maybe I'm old-fashioned. Maybe I'm old-timey. But let me tell you something. I still believe that the Word of God is alive and well. I still believe that the blood of Jesus covers a multitude of sins. I still believe that Jesus died for my sins. And I still believe on the third day He resurrected. Hallelujah. There's a lot of religions that don't believe that. But on the third day He resurrected and He said, I am He that was alive and was dead, and have the keys of death, hell, and the grave. Hallelujah. And He is alive forevermore. Hallelujah. Somebody said He's come back. He's not come back yet. He's not come back yet. But we're watching for Him. We're watching for Him. What are we doing while we're watching for Him? We're waiting for Him. We need to be servants of Christ while we're waiting on Him. We need to constantly be, what can I do for You today, Lord? What can I do for You today, Lord? That person that said all men are evil, You want me to talk to him? I'll talk to him, Lord. But I need You to help me. You want me to pray for that person? Listen, there's going to come opportunities in your day to pray for people. Are you going to have the courage to stop and pray? It might be at Walmart. It might be at your local grocery store. But somebody needs prayer. And if God says you need to go up and pray for that person, go up and pray for that person. You don't know what they're facing. You don't know what they're going through. But too often we as Christians, we get so complacent at times. And we sit back and we say, God, somebody else will do it. Let somebody else do it, God. I'm not worthy. And we're just like Moses. We give excuse after excuse after excuse. And he said, no. You are the one I want to use. You are the one I want. You are salt of the earth. God, don't let me be dry. Don't let me be over there in the corner not willing to be used. The other thing I see about salt is it gets wet. When salt gets wet and gets used to the elements, it gets clumpy. I used to remember my mom would cook with that Morton salt. Remember that? On the side of it, it said, when it rains, it pours. And for a long time, I didn't understand what that meant until I grew up. Then I realize when it gets wet, it still pours. God, even though I might have to go through storms, cover me with Your wings, Lord. Cover me like David said. Keep me, Lord, even though I have to go through these storms. I still want to be salt, God. You might have to keep me in that shaker for a long time, God. But when it comes time to use me, I'm ready to be used. See, the salt that's on the bottom of this shaker is waiting and waiting and waiting, waiting to be used. The one that was at the top is already gone. The stuff that was in the middle, see, there was a reason why you couldn't fill this up all the way. God knew. The stuff that was in the middle is already gone. But what's on the bottom is ready to be used. And it's starting to get excited, thinking, God's going to use me. God's going to use me. You said, Brother Chris, I've been in this for a long time, and I'm ready for God to use me. He's getting to the bottom of the shaker. Let me tell you something. Time is running out. You can only look at the world for a short moment and see the news for a short moment and see that time is running out. Me and a coworker, we talk about it almost every day. This world is getting close. And I tell him every day, I said, you know, I've heard my entire life that Jesus could come back today. But the one thing I know for sure, it's one day closer than it was yesterday. And it's one day closer tomorrow than it was today. And if He chooses to come back today, even so, come quickly, Lord Jesus. But if He doesn't, God, let me be salt. God, let me be salt. God, let me say a word to somebody. God, I don't want anybody to die and go to hell. God, I want You to use me, Lord, whatever it might be. My name might not ever be on the marquee, and that's fine with me. Just let me see some souls saved, God. Let me see some lives changed, God. Let me see some people delivered, God. Let me see some people set free by the power of Your glory, Father God. Just let me see You come down in this house, Father God. Let me see You heal cancer, Father God. Let me see You cure people that are fighting sickness and has for years and years and years. God, let me see that once again. Let me taste and see that You are good. I remember when me and Tabitha, we went on our cruise, and I love the water. I don't know if you could look at me and tell, but I grew up in Florida, and I love the water. I love the salt water. I love everything about it. What I don't love about it is the taste it puts on your lips. And I remember I was walking through there, and the guy said, hey, do you want to rent a snorkel? Yeah. I want to rent me a snorkel. I said, Tabitha, you want one? No, I think I'll be all right. I want to see what's down there. I'm going to find me something cool, you know. So she goes back up to the beach, and she's hanging out. So I'm going to go further out, way out there. And they say there's a reef out there, and I'm going to see all kind of neat stuff. So I go out there, and the waves are, it's about 3-foot seas, you know. It's pretty choppy. And I get out there out of protection of the harbor. And I get out there, and I don't realize how deep the seas are. And I'm just having myself a time looking at all kind of fish, and all of a sudden, you know, I just took in a big, you know, and that's salt water. So it stays with you for a long time. And I can remember hours later as we're sitting on the boat eating, I was like, man, this is so salty. This food is so salty. And she's like, it tastes good to me. This is so salty. But what it was is I got so much of that salt that it left a residue in my mouth. And it left a residue for hours and hours and hours. God, I want a taste of that salt. If You want me to be salt, I want to be so salty that I can just taste it, God. I want to be so salty that I can, when I lick my lips, I can taste that, God. I want to be that salty. God, help me to be salt into this world. Help me to be a light into this world. This world is dark, but I want to be the light that shines through You, Father God. Help me. Help me, Lord. And I remember a different time we went out. We actually had the boys and Tabitha's mama with us this time, and we went to a place, and the water was real salty, and if it's real salty, you can't hardly sink yourself down. I remember as a kid, me and my brothers, we would, again, you know, we would try to drown each other, and boom, you pop right up. And Tabitha said, she had some goggles on, she said, I want to see, there was a turtle down there. I want to see what's down there, hold me down. So I'm like, looking around, like, you know, I hope nobody thinks I'm trying to hurt you. I'm trying my best to hold her down, you know, and she's keeps coming back up. But I thought there was so much salt in that water. And I got to thinking and studying. Yeah, I was looking around. I was like, man, I hope nobody thinks I'm trying to hurt her. This would be bad. But I got to studying about it. The reason why there was so much salt in that water is because the water was, where we were, it wasn't deep. But just a few feet, it went way deep. And there was so dense of salt in there. That guy, I thought to myself, God, that's where I want to be. Take me to a deep place in You. Take me to where it's so salty, God, that it just comes out of everything that I have, Father God. Let it come out of the words that I say. God, let them be seasoned with salt. Let it not be my words, but let them be Your words. And every, you know, when people come into work Monday morning, they're not in the best mood. But God, help me to be a light. Help me to say, today is the day that You have made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. It might be raining tomorrow, and that's okay. God's still on the throne. God's still on the throne. It might be raining the next day, and that's okay. God's still on the throne. It might rain the next day, but that's okay. The sunshine is coming. And I think to myself, God, even if I get wet, even if I get wet and my salt gets wet, if You'll just let me stay in the sun, God, it'll dry everything out. God, let me get close to You. Let me get close to You, Father God. I want to be used by You. But Esther said, you know what? I don't think I can do this. And Mordecai says, you don't have a choice. You were put here for now. I want everybody to think about their life for just a brief moment. You think my life has taken so many turns? I thought for sure I'd be here, and I'm not. I'm there. But this is where God has you. Right here is where God has you. Right where God can use you. You're in the place that God wants you to be.
Amen.
So God can use you. Don't miss the opportunity. Don't be blinded and say, you know what? It's for somebody else. It's for you. If you hear God talking to you, it's for you. Don't sit there and say, I heard God talking to me, but I thought I was just overhearing what he was saying to my neighbor. No, it doesn't work that way. God's talking to you. I've had people tell me that. I figured they were talking to them, and I was trying to mind my own business. No, God's talking to you. God's trying to tell you. And he told Esther, and I'm sure Esther was scared. Esther couldn't go into the king unless she was bidden to come into the king. But I want you to watch in verse number 1 of chapter 5. Now it came to pass on the third day that Esther put on her royal apparel and stood in the inner court of the king's house over against the king's house. And the king sat upon his royal throne in the royal house over against the gate of the house. And it was so in verse 2, when the king saw Esther, the queen, standing in the court, that she obtained favor in his sight. And the king held out to Esther the golden scepter that was in his hand. So Esther drew near and touched the top of the scepter. She found favor in his sight. She found favor because she was in the will of God. She found, you say, well, praise God, that just happened because that was just lucky. No, it wasn't. You found favor in the sight of God. I'm so tired of Christians saying, well, that was sure a lucky thing. No, it wasn't. That was God's will in your life. And he was working it out in your life for your good. So you could go and say, hey, let me tell you what happened to me today. God is so good. Just like the testimony that Brother Eddie gave this morning about the 3 gallons of gas. It was. I know what it was like to siphon. We used to have to siphon as kids. That wasn't no fun, especially when it was your first time doing it. Whew. It was rough. You're just going to swallow some gasoline, I guarantee you. And Mama would go in, go get you some milk. You'll be all right. Oh, have mercy. Whew. Man, just don't swallow too much gasoline. Whew. But I remember that. And to think back about like what Brother Eddie said, those people that have gone on before. And I think to myself, that was a great legacy that they left. But God, you're still the same God. You're still the same. Nothing ever changes. The blinded eyes that they saw open is the blinded eyes that we can see open. The cancer that they saw healed is the cancer that we can see healed. The deliverance that they saw is the deliverance we saw. God doesn't change. We do. God doesn't change. We do. Amen. And it's time for us, if we want to see those miracles again, it's time for us to say, God, no matter what it cost me, no matter what it looks like, no matter what other people might say about me, no matter what it sounds like, no matter what my family might think, I'm going to focus on you because I want to be salt. I want to be salt. You say, Brother Chris, that sounds so silly. No, what you're saying is, God, whatever it takes, God, I want to be used by you. Whatever it cost me, God, I want to be used by you. Because I realize it's easy to say, but it's hard to do. And when we sit down and we say, God, no matter what, I choose you. No matter what, I choose you. God, here's my hands and here's my feet. I don't have much talent, God, but I know you can use me. I know you can use me. A good friend of mine, a preacher friend of mine, he sings a song that says, if you can use anything, God, you can use me. Take my hands, Lord, and my feet. Take my heart, Lord, speak to me. If you can use anything, God, you can use me. Surely you can use me, God. Surely you can use me. Flip over to the book of Samuel. I love this story right here. And I'm promising not to be long. Amen. Nobody amened that. Amen. I'll amen that. Samuel chapter number 3. I love the story of Samuel. I love how prophetic it was. And I love Samuel's heart right here. I was talking to a co-worker of mine Friday. And just out of the blue, he says, hey man, I got baptized last week. I said, hey man, that's awesome. Of course, we've been talking for a little while. He said, what's better than that? He said, come Sunday, my son's going to get saved. And immediately my mind went to the Ethiopian eunuch, and I thought, why not today? And I told him, I said, what's wrong with today? He said, you don't think he has to go to church to say a proper prayer? I said, let me tell you something. When you get saved, it's the condition of your heart. If your child's coming to you and saying, I want Jesus to come into my heart, if you've got to pray 500 times to have Jesus come into their heart, you pray 501 times to have Jesus come into their heart. Amen? If they're coming to you, they're ready. You say, how do I know if they're ready? If they're asking, they're ready. Amen? They're ready to receive. Don't turn the children away. Because I said, right now, he said, I'm going home and I'm going to say a prayer with him. I said, you say a prayer and you mean it. And all you're doing is you're asking Jesus to come into your heart, to forgive you of your sins. You believe that? Oh, hallelujah. We sitting there right there by the gas tank talking, and another guy come up and he said, hey man, my child just got on a bad wreck. I said, well, we're believing that everything's going to be all right. And just right there, it was just such a sweet, sweet spirit. You never know when God's going to use you. You got to always be ready. Amen? You got to always be ready. Samuel chapter number 3 and verse 1. And the child Samuel ministered unto the Lord before Eli. And the word of the Lord was precious in those days. There was no open visions. Let me tell you something. The word of the Lord is precious in these days. No, oh. My wife will tell you I'm big on words. Words mean things. I don't just say I love you to say I love you. Amen. When somebody says that's precious, to me that's another level. That's precious to me. You have cute, you have love, and you have precious. If something is precious to you, you hold it dear. You hold it close to you because it means something to you. Mm-hmm. A lot of us have heirlooms that have passed down from generation to generation that are precious to us. We hold them close to us because we have memories. The Word of God we hold close to us because it is our life. John 1:1 said the Word was with God and the Word was God. Hallelujah. We have the Word, and it's alive. It's precious to us. But the Bible says in the latter part of verse 1, there was no open vision. In verse number 2, and it came to pass at that time when Eli was laid down in his place, that his eyes began to wax dim, that he could not see. And ere the lamp of God went out in the temple of the Lord, where the ark was, and Samuel was laid down to sleep. I want to give a spiritual part to this. Eli was old. He'd waxen old in age, and he got tired. You ever been tired? I'm just tired. And his eyes had waxen dim. It was hard for him to see. I can see without my glasses on, but not very well. Everything's kind of blurred. His eyes had waxen dim. The lamp was about to go out. And it was getting dimmer and dimmer. And Samuel was asleep. It looked like everything was fixing to be lights out. It looks like that was fixing to be it. But God had somebody. God was fixing to raise up somebody. If that doesn't light anybody else's fire, that just lit my fire. There are people that have been in this a lot longer than I have, whose eyes have waxen dim. They've grown tired. They've grown weary. And the lamp is just about out. It's running low on oil. I remember growing up, in Florida, we have hurricane lamps. We had hurricane candles. And in case you didn't know why they're called hurricane lamps and hurricane candles, because you only burn them during a hurricane. When a hurricane comes through in Florida, you prepare for it. You watch out for it. You plan to be without power for several days. It's going to be hot. At nighttime, you're not going to be able to see. But Mama always had plenty of hurricane lamps and candles. And I would remember she would keep a stash of them. And she'd place them out when the weatherman said the hurricane was coming. She'd place them out through the house. And we'd be able to walk through the house and be able to see. But if every one of those hurricane lamps or candles went out, it would be dark. We would not be able to see. We didn't have flashlights. Now, we had flashlights, but we only used them in emergency situations because the batteries would get drawn. The room was dark. We would stumble around in the room if we didn't have a candle. Spiritually, the candle is going out. Spiritually, as we look around in church after church after church after church, the candle is going out. We've accepted things that God's never intended for us to accept. We've not stood against things that God has told us to stand against. In the name that God is love. God is love. But God is not going to stand for sin. The same God that said that was sin back then is saying that's sin right now. It doesn't change. If God says it's wrong, it's wrong. People come to me and they say, Brother Chris, don't judge me. I'm not judging you. I'm saying what God said. If God said it was wrong, I say it's wrong. He is the final authority. I'm just the vessel. I can be loving and I can be caring and I can be salt of the earth. But the salt that's scattered, sometimes when you scatter the salt out, it doesn't hit good ground. Sometimes when you get salt on your hands and you accidentally touch your eyes, what happens? It burns. It's meant to do that. The truth hurts. The truth hurts. When you're spreading out your salt, not everybody is going to receive that. Some people are going to say, ow, that hurts. I could remember, and I was thinking about it this morning, I could remember as a child whenever I would get a wound. Mom had no mercy on us. She didn't. She would tell us, she would say, we're going to pour some alcohol on it, and it's going to sting a little. The devil's a liar. But then she would tell me, she said, what happens was when I poured the alcohol on that, it killed all the nerve endings, and now it's not going to hurt anymore. Okay. But she would take that alcohol, and she would pour it on there, and but you dare not scream. Mm-mm, you can do that. You bit down on a towel or whatever you had to do. You didn't scream because the neighbors would hear you and think mama's killing you. You didn't do that. You didn't do that. When people have open wounds and they're hurting, the devil caused those wounds. The devil is coming to steal, kill, and destroy. And he opens those wounds. When we put salt on those wounds, it hurts. And people are going to say, ow, that hurts. Spiritually, that hurts. But it's all right because that's part of the healing process. That's part of the healing process. If mom would never have put that alcohol and that stuff on there, then I might have got an infection and might have been worse than what I was. But because she cared enough to take the time to pour that alcohol and whatever else that was she put on there, it healed. Now, I've got the majority of scars I've got came from two places, bicycle riding and working in a junkyard. And working in a junkyard is completely different than, you know, you have a completely different process. You put some grease on it, and it's good to go. It'll quit bleeding, you're good. That's what you do. But I think we need to care enough to come up to people and say, I know you're hurting, but God said it was wrong. There's a better way. There's a better way. Don't let the lamp go out. Don't say, God, I'm not going to say anything to that person because I don't want to offend them. The lamp gets dimmer and dimmer and dimmer. But watch what happens here. In verse number 4. That the Lord called Samuel and he answered, here am I. And he ran unto Eli and said, here am I, for thou callest me. And he said, I called not. Lie down again, and he went and lay down. In verse 6, and the Lord called yet again Samuel. And Samuel arose and went to Eli and said, Here am I, for thou didst call me. And he answered, I called not, my son. Lie down again. And verse 7, now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, neither was the word of the Lord yet revealed unto him. And the Lord called Samuel again the third time. And he arose and went to Eli and said, Here am I, for thou didst call me. And Eli perceived that the Lord had called the child. God has always got a people. God has always got a people. Therefore Eli said in verse 9 unto Samuel, Go, lie down, and it shall be, if he call thee, that thou shalt say, Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. So Samuel went and lay down in his place. And the Lord came and stood and called as at other times, Samuel, Samuel. Then Samuel answered, Speak, for thy servant heareth. And the Lord said to Samuel, Behold, I will do a thing in Israel, at which both the ears of every one that heareth it shall tingle. And that day I will perform against Eli all things which I have spoken concerning his house. When I begin, I will also make an end. For I have told him that I will judge his house forever for the iniquity which he knoweth, because his sons made themselves vile, and he restrained them not. And therefore I have sworn unto the house of Eli that the iniquity of Eli's house shall not be purged with sacrifice nor offering forever. This is a child, Samuel, getting called by the Lord in a bad place. He's in Eli's house. That's a bad place. And the Lord tells him, Hey, I'm fixing to tell you something. I'm going to do something in you, but Eli is not going to like it. Now, this is the only place Samuel's got to stay. It's going to cost him something. It's going to cost him something. Samuel just simply said, Here am I, Lord. Send me. Here am I. Send me. That's all God's looking for. We're looking for the lightning to flash and for the winds to blow and for this beautiful rainbow or writing in the sky that says, Come follow me. But God's talking in a still, small voice. Amen. And he simply called him by his name, Samuel. 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 And he said, Here am I. Send me. With that childlike faith, he didn't say, But God, you don't understand. I don't want to do this. He said, No. God, I'll do whatever you want me to do. I'll go wherever you want me to go. See, too many times we get attached to this world. And we get attached to the world and we go around to where the world's at. And we let the world take us. And we're on this ride and we say, God, we'll be there in a minute. We'll be there in a minute. That's not what God wants. God wants full control. Amen. I read a church sign the other day that says, God wants full custody, not weekend visits. And I thought about that. That's good. That's good. God wants us to be salt. God wants us to be light. And just to show that I did have two cups. I did have two cups. So you believe me. But the salt that is in this cup, God can use. You say, what is one little grain of salt among so many? Who am I among so many people, God? And I remember the story, one little grain of salt, just one. I remember the story of a man, I've shared it with you before, but those of you who have not heard it, he was walking along the beach. And there were several starfish out there. Now, when starfish get out of the water, they die. They dry up and die. Starfish have to stay in the water to be alive. That's a living organism. Same way with the sand dollar. That's a living organism. And the man goes by, and then he sees another man way off over there. And he reaches down, and he picks the starfish up, and he throws it into the water. And the guy walks up to him, and he says, Hey, there's millions of starfish out here on this beach. There's no way that you can make all of these starfish go back into the sea. You can't save them all. You might as well just stop. The man stopped, looked a minute, reached down, picked up another one, threw it back in the water. He said, I might not be able to get them all, but I made a difference to that one. And I made a difference to that one. And I made a difference to that one. If we'll all get together and we'll say, I made a difference to that one. God used me for that one. I might not can get them all, but I'm going to get the ones that are around me. The ones that I can reach, I'm going to reach out for. The ones that I can't reach out for, I'm going to pray that God will send somebody to reach out for them. I can't do it all, God. No, but God's going to send an army. God's going to send an army. Because just like Samuel, God's still got a people. God's still got a people. I've seen it time and time and time again where God has got a people. We thought the lamp was fixing to go out. But God said, I'm not over with you yet. I'm not through with you yet. Too many people, they get up in age and they think, I can't do this anymore. And I can't do that anymore. I wish I could do that for God like I used to. And I wish I could just do that one time for God like He wants me to. Do it. Do it. God has not changed. You have. A man and a woman are driving down the road. They've been married for about 50 years. And he's got a regular cab pickup truck. And the man driving, he looks over at his wife, and she's all the way up against the window on the other side. And he says, you know, honey, when we first got married, we had this same old truck right here. And you used to sit right beside me. And he looked over at her and said, I've not moved. You have. That's how we do God. God's not moved, but we have. Too often we get away from God. Not intentionally, but because the cares of this world have got us away from God. I love, my mind goes back to whenever I was 5, 6, 7 years old. And I would sing simple songs like, Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. When I feel worried, when I feel anxious, when I feel stressed out, I simply start singing, Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones, to Him belong. They are weak, but He is strong. The world needs to hear, yes, Jesus loves you. Yes, Jesus loves you. You say, Brother Chris, what am I going to say? Jesus loves you. Amen. I love that song, Worth. He thought I was worth saving. Too many times we think as Christians that we're worth nothing. The devil has got the world out there thinking they're worth nothing. Go to the next good feeling you have and see if that makes you feel any better. It's still empty. The only way you're ever going to feel your fulfillment in life is when you fully get a hold of God. Amen. And you fully let Him use you. You want to be happy? Be a vessel to be used. Like Brother Eddie was talking about this morning, you have to be willing to be poured out. I just want to be the vessel. I just want to be the vessel. God, fill me up and let me overflow. Let me just overflow and let it get over everything. God, let it just flow over everything. You ever fill a water pitcher up and you forgot it and it overflows into everything? It makes a mess everywhere and they'll be finding stuff for days. You're like, man, I didn't realize it went all the way. God, that's what I want Your Spirit to do. Just let it flow all over the place. Let it saturate everything. Let it saturate my job, each and every employee. God, let it, because it's not just a coincidence that they're in that place. It's not just a coincidence that I'm in that place. God, You brought us here for such a time as this. So I can witness to them. So I can share the love of God to them. I've complained to Tabitha for a long time. Finally, she looks at me and she said, this is exactly what you prayed for. And I quit complaining. I said, you know what? You're exactly right. Thank you for giving me truth. But you're exactly right. I have prayed and prayed and prayed. God, use me for Your glory. God, use me for Your glory. And God said, I'm going to put you right in the middle of people that need me. I'm going to put you right in the middle of people. And just like Moses looked back and said, God, these are Your people. I don't want nothing to do with them. And God said, uh-uh, You're fixing to do this. You're fixing to do this because I choose you. Amen. You and you and you and you, every one of us. We are a whosoever. And God wants to use us to be salt. Amen? One little grain of salt can make a difference to the one it touches. To the one it touches. If you'll stand with your heads bowed and your eyes closed. These altars are open. If anybody needs prayer, if you need salvation, if you just need a touch from God, these altars are open. I just want to leave with this song. The musicians don't have to come. You can stay right where you are. But if you know this song, sing it with me. If you can use anything, Lord, you can use me. If you can use anything, Lord, you can use me. Take my hands, Lord, and my feet. Take my heart, Lord, speak to me. If you can use anything, Lord, you can use me. Sing it one more time. It's a simple chorus. If you can use anything, Lord, you can use me. If you can use anything, Lord, you can use me. Take my hands, Lord, and my feet. Touch my heart, Lord, speak to me. If you can use anything, Lord, you can use me. Father, I ask you to take our hands, take our feet, take our mind, touch our heart, Father God. Speak to us. Use us this week. Let us be salt and be willing to be used by you, Father. In Jesus' name I pray. Brother Eddie.
Praise the Lord. Can you give the Lord praise tonight? Hallelujah. Glory to God. Salt. We are the salt. Amen.